This is the gospel message in a simplistic form. Sometimes we tend to get away from the simplicity, and then sometimes we make it so simple we miss the realities. Anyway, we're going to look at a few verses of scripture in Romans 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, 16th chapter of Matthew, and the 14th chapter of Acts. All right, Romans 5, beginning with verse 8. And I'm reading from the New American Standard. All right, verse 8. But God demonstrates His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, you didn't do something good, so Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. But while we were yet sinners, while we were in a very deep badness, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by His blood, that's important, remember that, justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. And you notice that you're justified by His blood, and you shall be saved. And the next verse tells you how. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, being justified by His blood is what He's talking about when He said we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more then, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So, very simply put, what Paul is telling us here, that we're justified by His blood. We have forgiveness, and we have been reconciled to God because of the blood. Through that we're forgiven, justified, reconciled. However, the salvation is yet to come, because he says, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved in His life. The salvation comes with His life. We used this before in terms of transference. Our sins are transferred back to Christ on the cross. That's our justification. But then the cycle has to be completed, that His life has to be transferred to us. Just getting the sins forgiven is not enough. We have to have His life. Now, when you're justified and you're forgiven, it happens very quickly. You repent and you believe, and through your faith and your believing, it is done. Immediately, it is done. However, the return to you of His life doesn't happen that fast. I can tell you from experience, in 40 years, I've been involved in the receiving of His life. It isn't done yet. What I mean by that, it isn't completed yet. Am I sharing in His life? Yeah. Am I being saved? Yes. And being saved is the correct terminology there. To say, I was saved at such and such a time in the past is incorrect. We're in the process of being saved. We don't have all of His life yet that we need, you see. It's an ongoing process. Scripture in Isaiah says that the increase of our salvation and of His government is without end. There's a continual process to get the idea, say, well, I'm born again, I'm saved, it's done, it's completed. Not so. It's not completed. But we need to get this understanding of this, that it's not the justification by His blood that saves us. It's His life entering into us. There's where the salvation is. Being forgiven is not enough. We have to receive of His life. 2 Peter 1. These are very familiar scriptures. We use them over and over and over again. And I'm sure you're familiar with them. But they're very meaningful. Let them sink into your hearts and really see this thing. Because to assume that you have more than what you do is not a good idea, because it cuts you off from receiving more. Verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Peter's saying the same thing. The grace and peace that you have is not enough. Let it be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted. See, it's granted. That means it's available. It's granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. After 40 years, I can tell you that I have not received everything pertaining unto life and godliness yet. But it's all available. Listen, you have to understand that if you could put a measure on all of this provision that God has for you, and then you could finally mature and grow until you have obtained all of that provision, then you're going to find that the provision changes and there's more. No matter how much you receive of the Lord, there's always going to be more. You see, we have to understand that. There's no finality. See? Seeing that He has granted to us everything that pertains to life and godliness has been granted to us through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Now catch this next verse. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. And then He tells us why His precious and magnificent promises have been granted to us. In order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by love. Now, there is salvation. There is born again. To be a partaker of the divine nature. And you don't partake of a little bit of His nature, say, now I've arrived. It's an ongoing thing to become a partaker. To become a continual partaker of His divine nature. But we have to understand that God has made available His promises, His precious and magnificent promises, so that we can become continual partakers of His divine nature. We need to know that. Do you realize that a large portion of churches within Christianity do not teach that? Every sermon practically you hear about Jesus dying on the cross to save us from our sins, and we get saved from our sins, and we're Christians, now we've made it. And that's not the truth. That is a false doctrine. Completely false. Because it's not enough just to be forgiven of your sins and get rid of the bad thing. There has to be the appropriation the partaking of His divine nature. And until you start partaking of His divine nature, you can't really say that you're born again. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 24. If anyone wishes to come after me, that's Jesus talking, do you wish to come after him? Well, what does that mean? Now, he's not standing here somewhere in the flesh that you can follow along behind him. To come after him, to come after him means to become as he is. To take on his nature, that's what he's talking about. To come after him. Now, if you wish to come after him, if you wish to be a partaker of his divine nature, then here's what you have to do. Let him deny himself. There's the first thing. Denying of self. If we can understand that self is the greatest enemy and the greatest barrier that we have that keeps us out of the promises of God. Selfishness, self-centeredness. Oh, there's a thousand different ways that self can manifest itself. And there's where the problem is. So, deny self. Okay? And then, take up your cross. What's the taking up your cross for? It's to put each one of those things of self on it and let them die. And you'll keep taking up your cross. How do I say that? Deny yourself, take up the cross. Do you suppose that take up could be a continual thing? Yes. Because you don't know the depths of self. And they have to be put on the cross. And it's with the denying of self and the taking up of the cross that enables you to follow the Lord and to become as He is. Then he adds in the next verse and makes it even more plain. Whoever wishes to save his life, that's your self life. If you wish to save your self life, what's going to happen? You lose it. But whoever loses his self life shall find his life. Now, one more scripture, and that's Acts chapter 14. One verse. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. So, Paul and his helper are going through the churches, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, you see, Paul's going through those churches and he's saying, continue in the faith. Continue in your spiritual growth. Continue denying self. Continue putting those things of self on the cross. Continue appropriating the life of the Lord. Don't stop with your partaking of His divine nature. Continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Now I know that nominal Christianity usually talks about a tribulation period that takes place at the end of time, after all the saints have been raptured out. That whole concept is erroneous. The scripture very plainly says here, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And you can't take the kingdom of God and place it out in the future somewhere. You say, well, I won't live long enough to get there, so I don't guess I'll have to go through tribulation. Don't you worry. You will not enter into the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Partaking of His nature. Everything that we've talked about, partaking of His nature, obtaining unto His life, His divine life, that is the kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And when He is King, the kingdom is available, and He's the King. And to become as He is to become kings under the King. But through many tribulations, we must enter. Why are the tribulations important? Why is it necessary for us to go through tribulations? Well, Jesus said we have to deny self. And listen, you won't ever deny the things of self until you get a good dose of tribulation. It takes the tribulations to encourage your heart to dump the things of self and to continue appropriating the things of the Lord. Through many tribulations, we enter into the kingdom of God. All right, let's say it this way. Through many tribulations, we partake of the divine nature. Same difference. All right. What have we learned? We're justified by His blood, but we're saved by His life. And being saved by His life is not a skinny minute thing. It's an ongoing process that we're involved in continually as we're partaking of His life. There's more to His life than you know. There's more to your life than you know. And there's the emptying out of self in order that there can be the taking in of Him.
Can I add one thing?
You add it.
Romans 5.
Back to Romans 5.
This thing about, you know, the word tribulation, people, like you said, most people think of it as a time period that's way off in the future and they hope they never get there. But and you were bringing about that tribulation is necessary. And if you go back to Romans 5 and you look at starting with verse 1 through 5, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, that's, I guess, the initial experience, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith brings peace, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, which is the same thing as endurance, because we're going to need it.
Yeah.
And perseverance produces character, and character is approved character, and character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So it's not necessarily tribulation is a period of time, but tribulation is necessary because that brings about the endurance, which brings about the perseverance, which brings about the character or the new nature, which brings about the hope and the love,
yes,
which is the attributes of the Lord.
That's good.
So tribulations are absolutely necessary,
absolutely,
if you're going to move into the nature of the Lord.
And everybody doesn't experience tribulation at the same time.
Right. And my tribulation may be different from your tribulation. We also glory in tribulations, knowing that it brings all of these about. We must.
See,
through much tribulation.
There have been so many books written about eschatology,
right,
the end time, tribulation, the judgments, all these things, and the majority of it is erroneous. Just completely false teachings.
Right.
But there's no coming in to God without going through tribulation. Because as Paul says in Corinthians, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
What you are in yourself cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What you are in yourself cannot partake of the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be an emptying out.
Right.
There has to be a change of nature. And your nature will not change without these precious tribulations that you go through. we probably should go over this over and over and over again.